Blog Talk Radio.
Mary, Mary,
Mary, Mary,
Neo,
Neo,
baby, up, say,
I just wanna tell the truth, man.
Yeah.
I just wanna tell the truth, my
baby, say,
great morning. Welcome to Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Radio. Welcome. I'm so excited this morning. I got a special friend that's going to be one of my guests today, so I'm super excited. I'll be introducing her real soon, but I'm excited. I've been asking her for a couple of months. I finally got her on my radio station. How about that? So anyway, if you're looking for some advertisement promotions, commercials, radio interviews, or radio spins, maybe for your event, maybe your author, life coach, this is a perfect platform to come on. My platform actually is a global platform. So in my back office, it tells me that people from Ghana, Morocco, India, Nigeria, Canada, Trinidad, Europe, South America, and all the United States. So, would not be a better place to do your advertising on? If you're looking to advertise, you can either reach me at 240-640-5492, or you can email me at faithfocusfitness@gmail.com. That's faith, F-A-I-T-H, focus, F-O-C-U-S-E-D, finish, F-I-N-I-S-H, and that's at gmail.com. And we're on Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to noon, and that is Eastern Standard Time. And the guest call-in number is 563-999-3741. So I want to introduce Ms. Kathy Carswell to the show, to Faith Focus Fitness Blog Talk Radio. Good morning, Ms. Kathy.
Good morning, Faith. How you doing?
I'm good. I'm good. I've had you on as a call-in, a caller call-in. Now I actually have you as a guest today. How about that?
I know, right? I'm super excited.
Well, I just want to say we do have some callers on the line, and I'm going to keep you guys on hold for a few minutes. We're going to get started with the show, and then I'm going to open up the lines for any questions from Ms. Kathy. So, Ms. Kathy, it says you were born and raised in Virginia, in Richmond, Virginia.
Yes.
Okay. So basically, well, let me ask you, how old are you, Kathy?
I'm 40.
Okay. And so you live in Georgia now?
Yes, I live in Macon, Georgia.
Okay, how long have you been, when did you move from Virginia to Georgia?
Well, my husband is from Georgia, so we recently moved back. It's going on 2 years now, in December, actually, to make it 2 years, that we've been back in Georgia from Virginia.
Okay, excellent. Well, just a little bit about Ms. Kathy. She's gone through several trials and tribulations and situations, and due to her overcoming those situations, or what she likes to call a BOG, within moments, we're going to talk about the BOG,
yes.
Kathy has decided to share them with the world. So she also is a mentor and a life coach in her organization, Bond Within. And Kathy enjoys togetherness with her young girls and women to help them bring out the God within the moments in their lives. So we're going to be talking about all of that. and so let me ask you, what inspired you to start Bog?
Yes, what inspired me is when I was younger, I found out that I was adopted, and I've always wanted to be an outreach. Actually, it wasn't necessarily just me. It's like I got that that voice. So it was like, you know, this is what you should do. Like your mission, your work in life is to help other young girls, young women to get through. You know, there are so many people that's been adopted or in foster care or maybe just live with, you know, their grandparents, auntie, somebody that's not their mother or father. So that's
right.
What started, and it just grew from there.
Okay. So I know that you found out you were adopted. How did you find out you were adopted?
My adoptive mom told me when I was in elementary school, so very on. And that's how I found out. She told me about it. Actually, my biological mother and father, they were friends with my adoptive mother. So they knew who she was. I didn't actually know them at that particular time, but my mother knew who my both mothers knew each other.
Okay. And so I wonder, did she ever tell you what made her decide to? Well, first of all, what age were you when she told you?
I was elementary school, so it had to be like either the fourth or fifth grade, like when I can understand. I don't remember the exact age, but I do know I was able to, you know, understand what she was saying. And
right.
Yeah.
Now I was going to say, did she ever tell you the reason why she decided to tell you?
Yes, she did. She told me because she just wanted me to know. She didn't want me to, find out later in life, either from somebody else or anything. And the crazy part about it is like that I already had like a feeling that something was different. Now my family, they treated me beautifully, but it was just something different. Like my the mom that adopted me, her skin is a little bit darker than mine, and the hair texture is a little bit different. And I was like, it's something different. I couldn't put my fingers on it because I was, you know, so young. I couldn't put my fingers on it, but I was like, it's something different. I don't know what it is, but I just, you know, feel it. And so when she told me, I was like, okay. And then she told me that they were friends. And my mom, my biological mother, her, my father was going to prison, and it was hard for her to take care of me. She was having some hard times at that particular time. And so she asked her friend if she would care for me. And I truly can't even imagine. When I think back on this story, I'm like, wow, I can't imagine asking a friend to take care of my child.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, it's crazy because, believe it or not, that's how my brothers and them came into our family's life.
Wow.
Their mother did the same thing, and they actually stayed with us for years. So, that's exactly, it's crazy because that back in the days, they used to do that.
Right, right.
You got paper trail and everything else.
Right.
Now, let me ask you, do you... have you ever met your biological parents?
I have. As a matter of fact, when I believe it was in like in the fifth or sixth grade, my biological mom, she came over to the house, and then, you know, my adoptive mother, she was like, you know, this is your mom. And it all makes sense. I look exactly like my biological mom, like the way we wear our hair, like when I wear my hair down and curly. I look exactly mm-hmm. like my biological mother.
Wow.
And, yes. And they grew up in the same neighborhood. So my babysitter, like everybody knew, you know, each other. We in downtown Richmond, like Harshaw Homes and that area, like everybody knew each other. So they all knew who my mother was. But I, you know, I was too young. I didn't remember who they were.
Okay.
So yeah, she came to stay with us for it was about a week or so, and I got a chance to bond with her, but it was also a confusing time because I wanted to latch onto her, and I actually you know was got mad at my adopted mom. Was like, you're not my mother, you're not my real mother, you know, I'm going to stay with my real mother. It was horrible. I can't imagine how my adoptive mom feel like, girl, I'm taking care
right.
of you.
Right. If you'll get over here.
Right. You no. acting brand new now.
Right. It's funny because one of our adopted sisters, she used to act the same way, but she ended up having, you know, connection with her biological family, which she ended up going mm-hmm. with them later on. But she used to do the same thing. She'd come home, oh my gosh, she was brand new and spoiled. So I was just
right.
like, wow. So is that the only time you ever had a chance to see her when you was at the age?
Yes, that I can remember of. We did talk on the phone off and on, and but yes, that was the last time that I can remember. And my father, I actually met him when my freshman year in college.
Okay.
And yeah, that was amazing. And I'm actually his power of attorney now. It's just funny how life just. Just changes and moves the way it does. And so
mm-hmm.
I'm like, wow. I didn't even, you know, grow up around him. But now I'm his, you know, point of contact whenever something is going on with him and things of that nature.
Okay. So how did you end up connecting with him in college?
My brother from my adopted family, he knew my biological father, and so they seen each other while they was out, and he said, well, you know, I'll give her a number. You know, he let him know that I was in college now, and so when my father called, I was like, what?
Right.
So. So he called me, and right before he called, my brother had called me and let me know that, hey, you know, I seen your father, and I gave him your number. I hope you don't mind. And I said, no, I don't mind. But yes, I talked to him, and then within another week, we ended up meeting. He came to Virginia State. That's where I went to college at, Virginia State, and he came and we met up there.
Okay. Wow, that's awesome. So you've never seen your mother again since she was a child? You haven't had no contact or anything with her?
No, I haven't.
Wow. Do you know if she's still alive or anything?
Actually, she passed away in 2012. And I do have contact with my brothers and sisters. And I was searching for my biological mother. Because off and on throughout my life, I've, you know, searched on, you know, Google and everything to find my mother and father and sisters and brothers. And so I searched, this was recently, actually, and he said, you know, she had passed away in 2012. And I was like, what? I said, no, this has to be, you know, a lie or something. Because I was really urging to meet up with her again. My husband and I were going to have our anniversary, our 17-year anniversary, and I wanted to invite her. And that's when I found out.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know why I'm saying wow, Kathy?
Wow.
Because I promise you, some of the same things that has happened to you has happened to me. I'm not adopted, but I actually was looking for one of my brothers on my father's side. And I don't know, for some reason, I just felt like I needed to look for him. Well, one day my sister went to go visit in Buffalo, New York, and she was, and the news came on. And my brother was killed while she was there. And all this time I've been looking for him, couldn't find him. And then when I ended up finding out he had passed away in the midst of me finding him. So that was kind of crazy. That was kind of crazy, girl.
Yes.
Yes, ma'am. Wow. Well, I wish you would have been able to have a connection with her, but I mean, you know, at least you have connections still with your siblings, so that's cool too.
Yes.
So let's talk about you growing up. Now you said you lived in a you were adopted by your adopted parents, and so tell me how that upbringing was with you living there with them.
It was a very good upbringing. My doctor's mom's name is Willnett Gordon, and she actually passed away in a car accident we were in 2017. She passed away just from hearing the tire exploding. That's a whole another book, Miss Faith.
Yes, we're going to talk about that too one day. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, but yeah, so, oh my God, I forgot the question. I went there. But,
No, it's okay. I was asking about your upbringing. So tell me about your relationship with your mom, with your adopted mom. How was that relationship?
It was really good. Of course, you know, when I did meet my biological mom, it threw even more confusion in my mind. Though my adopted mom, like, she gave me everything that I wanted. You know, I had my own room. You know, back then it was Nintendo on phone. Everything, clothes. You know, my brother, he always had me laughing and going. My sister, you know, she was always great. She was older. She was married, and so my upbringing was good. You know, like a middle class family, and so it was no problems there. It was just mentally I was kind of confused. Like, you know, this is not my biological family. Where is my biological family? And so I was in my room a lot. You know, I'm naturally like a, if you will, a quiet person, you know, kind of mm-hmm. stay to myself. I like to laugh and joke and play around and stuff like that. But I'm not like the life of the party and, you know, just can make conversation like that. So I've always been like that. But some of that came from just my mind just wondering constantly. And mm-hmm. so I'm very fortunate that I was in the upbringing of, you know, a family that really cared for me. My mother, she really cared for me, gave me everything. She treated me like I was her, you know, her biological daughter, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very, very thankful to her for that. And any other thing that I went through, I know we'll get into that shortly, but when I was a teenager, you know, of course I had my teenage years where I lashed out, like, you know, trying to be grown. Hanging out there,
we
being grown.
Right, we all do that.
Mm-hmm. And like, Mama, but you don't understand, you know, why you don't let me do this? Why you won't let me go out?
Right. Yeah, we all been through that moment.
Right.
My mom had to grab me in the collar, like, okay, who the mama and who the kid?
Right.
So, tell me about your relationship with your stepdad. I mean, with your adopted father, I guess it was, or stepdad.
Right. Well, when my mom originally adopted me, she was married to someone else, and that's where my maiden name came from, Carrie. He's not the one that molested me. Is I'm not going to give the other person's name. Well, I gave the other one. But anyhow. The one that she was married to after that, he's the mm-hmm. one that molested me, not my the one that I had the last name by. And she met him actually while he was in prison. And they got married. And when he came home, you know, it was fine. You know, he treated me like a daughter and everything. And then one day we were watching, it was Super Bowl was on. And so it was getting real late. My mom was tired. And so she was like, you know, make sure she get to bed. And I was like, later on, I was like, oh, my God, why did she say that? She didn't mean any harm in saying that. But she was just like, you know, like any other mother, like, you know, make sure the children get to bed and stuff like that. So I was mm-hmm. the youngest child. So she's like, you know, make sure she get to bed. And so needless to say, he made sure I got to bed. And, you know, that's when the horror started. It started when I was in sixth grade. Mm.
So how long did he molest you for? How many years?
It was all of middle school. And I think maybe 1 year of high school as well. I know mm-hmm. for sure 3 years.
So let me ask you, did you ever talk to your parents about it? I mean, your mom?
I did. The first time I talked to my mom about it, she was like, no, that's not happening. You know, he's not doing that. You know, you just being grown, you being fast, you wearing this little, you know, shorts around the house or something like that. I'm like, Mom, like, you know, I'm not, you know, doing that for him or nothing. It's hot outside. And so she didn't believe me the first time, but she's the one that actually caught him. It was one night that, you know, he wasn't in the bed with her. He was in my room. And she so happened to woke up, and she caught him on top of me, and she right away, you know, grabbed him and, you know, pushed him out the house, and thankfully, you know, he didn't try to fight her back or whatever. He, you know, felt bad or tried to feel sorrowful about whatever was going on, and she put him out that day.
Wow. For the life of me, and I'm not talking bad about your mom, but for the life of me, I don't understand why parents, when the kid finally get enough courage to come and tell the parent, why they don't believe it with some parents. Right. So, but yeah, I'm sorry you had to, you know, go through that. Actually, I had to go through the same thing too. So trust and believe, I understand you. I'm right there with you. So, and the crazy thing is, my mom, actually, I thought it was a bloodbath in our house because my mom lost her mind. She really did. And
wow.
But that's a whole nother, that's a whole nother story. But yeah, that's just, you know, crazy. And you wouldn't believe it. So many people really dealing with that on a daily. It's more people than we know. And it's really sad that people have to deal with that.
Right. I remember going to school. I was in, I remember I was in science class. And I'll never forget this teacher, Mr. Watson. He was my science teacher. And I cried and cried that morning. And he was like, "What's wrong with you?" And I was like, "I'm just going through something at home." And I remember a great friend of mine, I told her what was going on. And she was like, "You know, I'm going to kill him."
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it was just, I was just so heartbreaking. You never know what young children are going through in school. This all started when I was, you know, in school. And you know, you look at different children and how they're reacting. You know, they're upset. They're crying. They're depressed. And, you know, the teacher don't have time to do everything and to even care for all of that because they have to worry about whatever subject they're on. But it is very sad of what's going on in our community. You know, it could be somebody that lives right next door to you that's going through something like this, you know, being molested or raped or, you know, any of those things, or going, you know, have been adopted or in foster care. And I'm just one of those stories. Even though I went through things within being adopted, it wasn't my mother that was like taking me through it. Like, you know, I've heard some stories of where they were just maltreated and things of that nature. You know, I definitely didn't have none of that. And just other things, that wasn't my mom that, you know, that molested me, you know, that was her significant other. But, you know, it just really heartfelt when I hear these different stories. And I'm just really blessed that though it was something that I was going through at that particular time, I didn't understand it all when I was going through it. I'm thankful that I can speak about it. You know, sometimes I cry about it, but I can speak on it and I can help somebody else, you know, continue to get through it.
Right. Yes, ma'am. We're going to take a quick break right quick and we'll be right back. And we're going to be, we're going to be talking about what made you write the book and in your vision with writing this book. So we're going to take a quick break right quick and we'll be right back.
Okay.
Stay the same up to Friday. I mean, I really, really, honestly. staying true. Could have been someone you love to hate, but it's okay.
Girl, I'm not that way.
Cause every time I try to be something, it's devil telling me for something just a little better. Don't settle for whatever, just for someone that can bring me everything I want and need.
Welcome back to Faith Focus Finish Blog Talk Radio. We're on Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to noon. That is Eastern Standard Time. And the call-in number is 563-999-3741. So we have Ms. Kathy Carswell. She's our featured guest today. And welcome back, Ms. Kathy.
Yes!
So tell me a little bit about you going to college. How was college for you? And what college did you go to?
Oh, my goodness. College was awesome. I went to Virginia State University, VSU. It was so beautiful. I went there for 2 years. I was planning on staying the whole time, but I got pregnant my sophomore year. But it was very, very, very good. I loved the teachers that I had. I was going to school for business management because I wanted to have my own daycare. And I took business management because I also, of course, wanted to start my group. Then it wasn't called Bob Within, but
so I wanted
to get some business skills under my belt. So that's why I was taking that up. And I had a blast at Virginia State. I had some wonderful friends, wonderful time partying.
All right. So I know you mentioned that you were married, that you're, how many times have you been, you only been married one time?
Legally married one time, yes, and that's to my husband, Brandon Carswell.
Okay.
But legally married, yes, one time. And spiritually, well, all of it's still spiritually, but spiritually married, meaning we did not have anything on paper, was once to another person.
Okay. Now, I know you talked about, that I don't know if it's from your marriage with Mr. Brandon or the other spiritual marriage. I know we talked a little bit about separation. Is that your current relationship or the other relationship?
Well, it happened, most of the separation happened with my current marriage. The other situation, I just completely left that. We was married for a year, and I can have some beautiful talks with that. It was a multiple wife marriage. I was a part of the Hebrew Israelite community, and
So I know a little something on some of everything, y'all. So I know how it feels to have a sister wife and, you know, done all in the correct manner and all that stuff like that. So I've been through a little something. But as far as, like, separations, it was for my Karen marriage. We got married when we was very young. I think my husband, he had just turned 21. He was in the military. And I was, I believe, 23, 24 mm-hmm. When we got married. And so we was, you know, still, even though I think both of us were very mature for our age, we were still going through that figuring out life, you know, and, mm-hmm. You know, trying to figure out, like, well, he was already in his career. I was still, you know, figuring out mine. I was working at a good job and everything, but still going through the motions, you know, not going to go ahead my daughter and everything. So, yeah.
Yeah, well, I mean, at that age, I mean, I know that a lot of times people, like, you know, feel like they're in love and things like that, but at the same
yeah.
time, you're still growing. And so that is that kind of in between age, between like 18 and I'll say 29 years old, where people still
right.
trying to find out who they are. So, yeah, but that's pretty cool that you guys still stayed together and worked it out. And still, you know, grew together to learn each other. Because
right.
some people can't go through that, you know, and they'll be, just give up. But that's a beautiful
yeah.
thing that you guys still stayed together, stuck behind each other. And
yeah.
as
and
I can see, y'all still stick together.
Yes.
I'm sorry?
And I talk about that in my book of the first separation came from when he had cheated. He had just came back from deployment. Like I said, he was in the military. And I can imagine in his mind it was, you know, some things he was going through. So anyhow, you know, he stepped out in our marriage. And I was heartbroken. Like, my husband is like the love of my life, you know. Like, when you connect with someone spiritually, and then, you know, he's always took care of me financially. You know, he's taking care of my daughter. You know, he's known her since he was at her first birthday party when she turned one. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, he's been in her life, you know, pretty much all her life. She's 19 now. And so when you connect to someone, you know, like that, who, you know, takes care of his family, everything, when things like that happen, you're like, why? Why? But I am very thankful, and you know, that actually in 2010, when we had gotten back together from a split up that we had, you know, I told him that I didn't want to go through any more split ups. Like, you know, our daughters, I say our daughter because he's basically been in her life, but he's not her biological
mm-hmm.
child, but he does treat her like it. And, you know, she's been through enough already. I was like, you know, I don't want to take her in and out of relationships. You know, I'm getting older. I don't have time to be going back and forth. Either we're going to stick together or we're not.
Right. Right.
So I vowed, and we both vowed that last, when we got back together in 2010, that, you know, we was going to be together forever. And, you know, whatever we was going through when we was younger, it is what it is. You know, we just, you know, put that under the rug. But I do talk about all of that in the book. He was like, you going to say all this? I said, yes, this is a part of my story.
Right. Well, the beautiful thing is that you can talk about it, write about it, and you guys stood together. So that's the beautiful part of it all.
Yes.
But
yes.
At the same time, it's just being real, because, you know, people be going through some things in their marriages, and they be acting like not, like they having a perfect life. And,
right.
you know, everybody goes through some things. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, it's just a part of the growing process.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a part of that growing process. Like I said, I mean, I know people, they only lasted 5 or 6 months in their relationship, whether it was a marriage
right.
or relationship, so, and they get running back and forth. So it do, and it makes
right.
a lot of sense. And then also the other thing is, my mom was married to the same man for 30 years. He was not my father. But wow. That's my father. That's my
right.
father. And he's
yes.
still my father. He just turned 81 years old. I just came back from North Carolina. And that's my father.
Wow.
Right. I know my biological, well, he passed away, but at the end of the day, this is my father. This is the man who clothed me, fed me, feed me, and made sure I had shelter.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I understand that. Yes, ma'am. So what inspired you to write the book about your story?
What inspired me, like I said from the in the beginning, it started off just me wanting to help other people who did not live with their biological parents. And, you know, whether you was adopted in foster care, whether you just live with, you know, auntie, somebody. So that's how it started off. And then it grew as I got older. When I, the last chapter in my book, I was 34. So it grew, of course, through life experiences, and I added on to it. And from being molested, I had a abortion, you know, going through relationships and, of course, you know, marriage, went through spiritual groups and organizations, just life. And through it all, realizing that God was showing me something through all of it, and that's why I call it bringing out the God within. Like God was trying to bring me into this blossomed individual, and and so that's what I talk about. So I use my story to end up connecting with other young women and teenagers to say, look, you can get through it. You know, let's talk about it and let's have some beautiful fun. And you know, after you after you talk about something, you feel better. It's like weight that's off of you. And so
right.
many times, especially going through molestation and rape, that is something in families that you just, it's like a hush-hush, like don't talk about it. And I know even in my own family, everybody don't know it. They're just finding out that this happened. My mother, of course, knew. And even my sister, she was like, when I say my sister, I'm talking all about my adopted family when I say brothers and sisters and stuff. That, you know, they didn't know all of this was going on. And so they're all, like, finding out, you know, the same time that all of this happened because it wasn't nothing that was, like, talked about.
Right.
And so and this happens in everybody's life, especially if it's a family member that does it. You know, you don't talk about it. It's a hush-hush. You put it up under the rug. And yet this family member is still around, you know, other people, other young children in a family. And not saying people can't change, but, you know, you have to talk about it. It has to be known, you know, that it happened. And so, and also just for when you're not able to talk about it with family, I just want to, you know, let everybody know that I'm here, you know, and that's the whole thing of Bach with their moments of wanting to get together with young women and, you know, let's have a great time together. Let's talk about it. Let's do some retreats together. You know, those type things.
Right. Well, that's, you know, that's a good thing to get together with other people so they can talk about it. Some people never even went to counseling to talk to anybody. And you're right,
yes.
And they're probably not even, some haven't even told their family members. Some people just kept it inside. And
right.
So, yeah, I mean, that's a good thing to do, you know, to get, you know, the people together. Because I say people now because, you know, boys are being molested too. But I know your goal is to,
yeah.
you know, focus on the women because we get
right.
it more than guys do. Yes, yes, ma'am. So, so BOG means bringing out the God within.
Yes.
Okay. Now, I know you have a YouTube station. Tell me a little bit how people can get in contact with you and the name of your book and how they can get your book.
Okay. So my book will be released this week. We just uploaded it. Well, my publisher company just uploaded it yesterday. And so we're just going through the process that it takes to do that. So within 24 to 72 hours, it will be on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. It will be online. And I will also do
some traveling, first here in Georgia, and promoting my book. And as soon as it gets online, I would definitely, you know, post it on my Facebook. My Facebook is in my name, Kathy Carswell. That's KathyCarswell. And I also have YouTube. I'm new to YouTube, but I very much enjoy it. On my YouTube, I'm talking about things that happen in my book. I will also be interviewing people. You know, I talk a lot about my life. When I go on tour, I'm going to be recording that. So it's all about different things like that. So if you want to come and get your, you know, just want to know more about me, want to know more about other women who have similar stories, because I'm just starting with myself. But believe me, I don't want to talk about myself all the time. I want some beautiful women and young girls as well, to tell their story, help somebody. So, you know, that's what the motivational coach and life coach comes in. I want others to tell their story. I'm just starting with myself, because right now, even this book, I'm just so ready for it to come out, because it's like I've lived more after that. So,
right.
You know, but yes, I will. I took a little break a couple months from YouTube because I was doing some behind the scenes things, but I will be posting back on my YouTube page, and my YouTube is Bog Within, B-O-G Within Moments. That's my YouTube channel, and just stay tuned to all the lovely things that I'll be having on there.
All right. Now let me ask you, for your YouTube station, do you do interviews with people, or do you or is it just you? Or what
yes.
is your goal for your YouTube station?
Yes, that is definitely my goal, to do interviews with other people. I started off talking about myself, so everything that's on there now is pretty much, you know, things that happened in my book, and I talk about it, or whatever subject I wanted to talk about for that particular moment. But yes, interviewing young girls and women, that's going to be into the season that I'm uploading, and of course more things in my book. Also paparazzi, because I do sell paparazzi accessories, so on my YouTube I have that as well. And when I'm touring, I also will have my jewelry. I'm doing a commercial plug.
She's definitely a serial entrepreneur we have here.
Yes.
I know you have other businesses. Might as well mention those too. We got a few minutes.
Okay. Well, yes. As you all know, I am an author, and I have a YouTube channel. I have Facebook. I also actually have a blog, and I'll be reposting my website shortly as well. But I'm a life and health insurance agent, and I also sell paparazzi accessories. My number is 321-449. I also go live on my Facebook channel selling paparazzi accessories, and when I do my tour, I will have my paparazzi accessories there. And with life and health insurance, it's like it's something that I keep in my back pocket. Because one, we as, you know, as women, and it's everybody. Now listen, for that, that's women, men, children, anybody.
Right.
But,
everybody.
Yes, everybody. you know, we all need that. We all need to cover ourselves. We never know if we have any life that comes up, you know, where you need health insurance, or life comes up and you need burial insurance, or, you know, preparing for retirement. And I know you talk about that a lot, so I'm not going to go into that.
No, this is your floor.
So that's definitely like something I keep in my back pocket to offer, you know, to anybody that I come in contact with. But yes, I do sell paparazzi accessories. It's like the whole vision for me is to be able to go before people, you know, whether it's speaking or, you know, even, you know, in a group or whatever, and we all coming together. And I have my jewelry there. I have my book there. t-shirts, just to be able to, you know, when you look good, you feel good, you don't talk about whatever, you know, is going on in your life or that has gone on in your life, you feel better. And so that's what I want. You know, I want the, you know, us to feel better in life because it's just too much going on. And, you know, it's a platform out there to help individuals. So that's what I'm putting together. I'm joining board on with a lot of other sisters that came before me and just getting on that train as well.
Right, exactly. And I always tell people with their health and with the life insurance part, it's not if we die, it's when we die. So you have to get in position to start winning. And I mean, to be prepared for that, I should say. And so one of the things, just a little bit about that, me and Kathy both specialize in life insurance. And I even though people sell life insurance, I let them use my platform too because it's so many people out there not covered. So, but one of the things we specialize is in living benefits. So if you have a critical terminal illness, separate instance, you know, a lot of people have heart attacks, strokes, cancer. They might go blind from diabetes or lose a limb. Those the life insurance that, you know, Kathy specialized in is called Living Benefits. And so if any of those events happen, you can actually take a portion of the policy and use it to either pay your bills or save your house. So, I mean, that's another way to get in contact with her. And what's the number again, Kathy, for people to get in contact with you?
My number is 804-939-4952.
All right.
And you can also contact me on my Facebook.
All right. And that's Kathy Carr as well. And K, let me start with a K, KathyCarswell. Now, Ms. Kathy, we got a few minutes left, okay?
Okay.
And if you could say anything to the world, what would that be? You could say whatever you want to talk about. If you could say anything to the world, what would you say?
Well, I would say that we live one life, and we have to love ourselves, that it does not matter whatever we go through as when we are growing up, you know, young little people, and then getting older as adults. We have to figure out what God wants us to get out of those different trials and tribulations, those different lessons that we go through. That's why I named my book, Bring Out the God Within, because through all of those different things, God was bringing out something within me. You know, from me being molested, I'm able to watch my daughter more closely, you know, when it comes to being around men, even young boys, you know, like, hey, you know, watch yourself, you know, be mindful. You know, it's sex trafficking going on. You better watch yourself when you're out there, you know, get off of your phone while you're walking, you know, pay attention to your surroundings because it's very serious out here. And, you know, I'm just saying, when you love on yourself, when you love your family, I feel like as women, I'm starting with, you know, women, because I feel like we're all the co-creators. You know, we're the ones that make the babies, that birth the baby. And that if we ourselves are whole and love ourselves and try to be our godly selves, and I'm not saying no holy than thou type stuff. You know, I'm saying when we're being in our essence, when we're being pure for what, you know, God intended us to be here on earth, whatever adventure we have, whatever gift we have here on earth, then we will be better selves, better mothers, better wives, better individuals. So we have to love on ourselves. You know, we have to eat better. We have to, you know, get the manicures and pedicures sometimes, you know, dress well, you know, feel good, wear that beautiful jewelry, and not to be materialistic in any of those things. It's like, feel better. You know, that's all I'm saying. We have to just feel better.
Right. Exactly.
And yes. And so that's just how I feel. And that's the whole reason for Bob Within Moments, is bringing together young women, you know, including teenagers, to come together. Let's talk about it. And then, but before you leave, we might cry while we're there, and we're going to laugh.
But right.
I want to make sure we're feeling good, you know, afterwards. And so that's all. I don't want to put a damper on different things. Yeah, we have moments that we're gonna cry about whatever's going on, but what has gone on. But we can definitely get through it. I'm telling y'all, you can definitely get through whatever you have ever gone through or is going through right now.
All right, there it is, Miss Kathy Carswell. Well, I want to say thank you for finally coming on my show. And
yes.
I enjoyed this. We made it through.
Yes.
So I appreciate you coming on. Well,
no,
I want to say thank you. This is Faith Focus Finished Blog Talk Radio. We're on Monday through Friday from 11 to noon, and that's Eastern Standard Time. And the phone calling number is 563-999-3741. And we're going to end the show out with Far Away by Marsha Ambrosia. And again, thank you, Ms. Kathy, for coming on my blog talk show. And I'm looking forward to helping you advertise your next book.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. Now have a great day.
You too.
That you ain't coming back. In the beginning, everything was cool. Towards the end of it all, it's all bad. I know I played my part in making it what it is, and I know that you did the same. I guess I'm out of here. I'm moving on again. I'm sure that you will understand. I play by the rules, you play by the game. I couldn't have stayed. It's easier to say, 'cause I was by your side. The pain. I guess it doesn't matter now that you're so far away. And every minute you're gone, I'm missing you so. I can't believe that you're far away. Can't get you out of my mind, boy, you're out of my life. I can't believe that you're far away.
Uh-huh.